to welcome Brian and Emmerdale as part of the family. And in many ways, you have touched our lives, especially by the character of your children, and unfortunately by some other things that we have no control over. But we're certainly glad to have you as a part of our family. And we pray that your life will somehow get back to some sense of normalcy in the next few weeks. I'd like to welcome all of our guests. We're very blessed to have you, and thank you for being here. And once again, I have to make apologies for our construction. Hopefully, in the next few weeks, we're going to get rid of the ugly cord and when we get the projector like it's supposed to be, and we're still working on that one. But we thank you for coming and being a part of us today and being a part of this assembly, and we pray and hope that our worship to God has been truly honoring Him as we have come here for that reason and purpose. Just off the southern tip of Spain, there is a massive bedrock. The Rock of Gibraltar is 114 feet high and 2.5 miles long. And throughout the history of the world, it has been a very important place militarily, strategically, because the Strait of Gibraltar, of course, separates two continents, Europe and Africa, and two large bodies of water, the Mediterranean Sea and the Atlantic Ocean. And the Rock of Gibraltar has become a symbol of stability. Prudential Insurance Company uses the Rock of Gibraltar to advertise as a symbol of stability. Or we may refer to the character of someone and say, he's solid as the Rock of Gibraltar. And even Chevrolet tells us that their pickup trucks are as solid or like a rock. You know, they want us to believe that somehow they'll last forever. But we all know that the one who is truly the rock that never fades away, the one who will see you through all the storms of life, the one who will not only see you through this life but into eternity, is Jesus Christ. He is presented a number of times in Scripture as the rock. First of all, consider with me that Jesus as the rock is considered and called to be a rock, an eternal rock. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the Apostle Paul was alluding to the history of Israel and their journeys through the wilderness. And Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized of Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Throughout their travels in the wilderness, remember that God had guided them by this pillar of cloud that would guide them wherever they were supposed to go. And they passed through the Red Sea because of the providence and power and might of God. And as they wandered through the wilderness, God fed them with that spiritual food. Spiritual meaning the source. It was literally manna. And He gave them that spiritual drink two times upon at least two occasions. You remember that water came out from a rock. And thus we find that God had provided for Israel through this spiritual drink. And He says that that spiritual rock was truly Christ. It's interesting that according to Jewish legend, they believed that somehow a rolling rock would follow them through the wilderness, and that it traveled from, for example, Exodus, the 17th chapter, and again we find it in the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter, and they believed that this rolling rock followed them wherever they went. We know that's not so. But Paul says very plainly that that eternal rock, that rock was Jesus Christ, and He is. He was always with them and will always be with us. He is the one who was pre-existing, the one Micah refers to, whose goings forth were from of old. And He is the one who provides truly living water, spiritual water. In the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter, when Jesus was having an interview with a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, and beginning with verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Thus, Jesus is the one who provides peace and direction and freedom from guilt And He is the eternal One who has always been and will always be and will always be with us if we're willing to follow Him. But not only is He an eternal rock, but He is described in Scripture as a rock of refuge. In the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter, and verse 14, Isaiah said in a landmark prophecy concerning the Messiah, He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He will be as a sanctuary. In Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2, again, Isaiah the prophet says, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Everybody who knows anything about the land of Palestine knows that it was a very arid country, a rugged country, and there was need for a place to hide from the hot sun, shade from the hot sun, a place to hide from the wind and from the elements. And here we find that Isaiah describes Him in prophecy, the Messiah, as being that rock in the weary land, that shadow and that refuge. Anybody who knows anything about history understands that during the Battle of Gettysburg, that the reason why the Union forces won is because they occupied the high ground. Jesus is our high ground. He is our refuge. He is the one who will help us and guard us during the storms of life. And He is the one who can truly protect us from the guilt of sin. Paul says in Romans 8 and 1, in Christ there is no condemnation. We sang about that a minute ago in the song Rock of Ages. Be of sin the double cure, save from wrath, and make me pure. The blood of Jesus, and only the blood of Jesus, can truly hide us and protect us from the guilt of sin. He is a rock of refuge. But Jesus is not only a rock of refuge, but Jesus is a rock of distinction. By distinction, we mean unique. And in another landmark prophecy, again in the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter and verse 16, Isaiah says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. I want you to notice several things here that he... First of all, he says that Jesus is, number one, that tried stone. He was tried by the Jews. They would throw question after question at him, but every time he stopped their mouths. He was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And once again, he proved himself. Tempted like as we are, yet without sin, the Hebrew writer says. Jesus was that tried stone. And as the tried stone, He was also a precious stone. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 7, Peter says, to those who believe He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, He is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Indeed, He is very precious. Not because of His physical beauty or physical attractiveness, but because of the love that He offers, because of the hope that He offers. Because only those who believe in Him can have redemption of sin and salvation. And furthermore, Isaiah says, not only is He precious, but He is a cornerstone. He is that one in the building of perfect size and proportion. He is that stone in the building from which all other stones are to be measured. He is that stone in the building from which two sides of a wall are joined together at the foundation. I want you to consider with me what Jesus does for us. Number one, He brought law and grace together. Number two, in Jesus, God submitted Himself to His deepest humiliation, but He also submitted man to His greatest opportunity of exaltation. In Jesus, there is time and eternity brought together. In Jesus, the Old Testament was fulfilled and the New Testament established. In Jesus, the righteous are glorified and the wicked frustrated. And Jesus is the corner of destiny. He is the secret to life, and He is the hope of death, of overcoming death. Jesus is a tried stone, a rock of distinction, a precious stone, the cornerstone. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul, in referring to the fact that in Christ, Jew and Gentile were reconciled together, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and beginning with verse 14, "For He Himself is our peace, who made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." He is the chief cornerstone of God's house. He is also a rock of distinction, as presented by Daniel, the prophet, in the second chapter of Daniel. You remember upon this occasion that Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian emperor, had a dream. And this dream was about a very ugly image, and this ugly image represents four great empires of the world: the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. But in that same dream, as Daniel interprets the dream, Daniel says, "You watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Jesus was that stone. It's interesting, the Jamaicans have this little chorus, and I assume that's what they mean. They say, "Daniel saw that stone rolling down to Babylon," and they say, "Jesus was that stone rolling down to Babylon. He was that tiny stone that crushed all the kingdoms of the world and grew into this large mountain that filled the whole earth. He is our King. He is now ruling and reigning as King on His throne, on David's throne. And He is a rock of distinction in that He can be your King because He wants to rule and reign in your life. And He can become my King because He wants to rule and reign in my life. And He will continue to be that King until all the kingdoms of the world are consumed. He is a massive, steadfast bedrock. He is a rock of distinction." But not only is He a rock of distinction, but Jesus is also the rock of the church. In the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus was having a discussion with His apostles. And first of all, He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Jeremiah, Elijah, or one of the prophets." Well, the people were mistaken. You know, that's what happens when you take a poll. And you know, you look at the majority. But Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this, but My Father which is in heaven." And by the way, you can know that Jesus is the Son of God because of the revelation that the Father has given in the book, in His book, the Gospel. John tells us in the 20th chapter that He has presented enough evidence so that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing we may have life through His name. But Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." It's interesting that in St. Peter's Basilica, those very words are inscribed in gold. And of course, they believe that Peter was the rock upon which the church was built. Well, very unlikely that God would build His church upon someone who was so unstable and weak. In fact, we know that's not the case. In fact, it's interesting that in this text we find two words. First of all, Peter, Petros, masculine gender, six Greek letters. Then we find another Greek word that is feminine in gender, Petra, that is five Greek letters, two separate words. And the massive bedrock, the Petra, upon which God built His church was Jesus the Christ. The fact that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Paul affirms this again in the book of 1 Corinthians, the third chapter in verse 11. And also in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. He is that foundation of the church. He is the massive bedrock upon which God has built His church. And by the way, He only has one. Only one church. Not many. You know, we hear today, choose the faith of your choice. Well, there's only one faith presented in the New Testament. Choose the church of your choice. Well, there's only one church that's presented in the New Testament. It's the one that Jesus built. The one of whom He is the foundation. He is the foundation of God's church. The foundation of the church. He is the rock upon which the church is established. But not only is Jesus the rock of the church, but He is also depicted as a rock of stumbling and offense. In the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter and the 14th verse, again we go back to this landmark prophecy. First of all, He will be as a sanctuary. But a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He wants to be your sanctuary. He wants to be my hiding place, my refuge. But if I reject Him, He becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. In fact, in referring to the Jews, in the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 9, the latter part of that chapter, Romans 9, and beginning with verse 30, says, "But what shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame.'" Jesus wanted to be the sanctuary for Jews, but they refused to believe in Him. Therefore, He became a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Again, Peter says in 1 Peter 2, that He is, to those who believe, a precious stone. But to those who are disobedient, He's become a rock, a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. He wants to be our sanctuary, but to some He become a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. In fact, this prophecy was literally fulfilled in the Jews. When they saw Him heal and work miracles, when they saw Him engaged in His ministry, when they heard Him speak, and yet they rejected Him. In fact, they sought His life, and ultimately they put Him to death. They refused to believe in Him. And Jesus is a rock of offense to many today. For many reject the claim to be the Son of God. They say, "Oh, well, Jesus is a good teacher. He's a prophet, but He's not the Son of God. He isn't deity." Thus he becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Or they may say, Jesus is maybe my Savior, but he doesn't have to be my Lord. They stumble when Jesus said in Luke 9:23, whoever denies God's. Y'all are being very distracted. Sorry about that. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, whoever comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. When Jesus makes that claim to discipleship, many deny that claim because they refuse and will not have him as Lord and Master of their life. Jesus wants to rule your life. He wants to be the Lord and Master of your life. But many stumble at his claim of discipleship. Many stumble at the simple commandment that Jesus gives in Mark 16:16, when he says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Many refuse that commandment, and thus he becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. But furthermore, not only is he a rock of stumbling and offense, but he's a rock of destruction. In the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was engaged with the Pharisees and Jews in the city of Jerusalem. And upon this occasion, he told a parable about a vineyard, a man who had a vineyard. And he lent out the vineyard to certain vine dressers. And he went into a far country and sent his servants at the harvest time to receive the profit from the harvest. Three servants he sent, all three servants they abused. And finally, he sent his own son. And they took the son and killed him. And in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 15, Jesus said, so they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, certainly not. Then he looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And Jesus said, whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them. Thus Jesus not only became a stone of stumbling, but Jesus said to those who reject him, the stone will grind them to powder. Oftentimes we think of Jesus in this sense of meek and mild. And indeed he was. But that's not the total picture of Jesus. He is not only a Savior, but he is also a judge. He wants to be my sanctuary. But if I reject him, he will judge me for that. He wants to save me, and he wants to shelter us and sustain us. But he will crush those who refuse him and reject him. So my question is, where are you building your house? You remember in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus concludes with this story. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The question is your life built upon the shifting sands of human thinking? Or is it founded upon the rock, that is, the bedrock, the rock of God, the rock of distinction, that tried and precious stone, the cornerstone, the rock of the church? Jesus said, the one who hears me and does what I say, his house is founded upon the rock that can sustain us through the storms of life and will last for an eternity. Is Jesus Christ your rock? That's the question. Is He the rock of ages for you? Can you say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand? That's the question. If He's not, perhaps there are some things that you need to think about. First of all, if Jesus is to be your Savior, you need to know, number one, that in Him and only in Him are spiritual blessings, including the forgiveness of sin. And in order to receive Him, first of all, you need to believe in Him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And based upon that faith, you need to repent. That repentance means the change of heart that brings about a change of action. It means that I will turn my back upon the sinful life that I have been living, and I will give my heart to Him. I will make Him the Lord and Master of my life. Based upon that faith, you need to confess not only today, but to the world, that Jesus is the Son of God. And based upon that faith, you need to be buried in baptism and raised to walk a new life. Paul said to Ananias said to Saul, "And now why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And baptism is just the beginning. Then after that, make the commitment to live faithfully to Him from now on. And if you'll do that, He can be your rock. That solid foundation that will never fade, that eternal rock that will last not only through this life, but throughout eternity, sheltering you from all the challenges that this world brings. But He'll hold your hand when you die and take you into eternity. If there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus as the Savior because you've not obeyed the gospel, can we assist you today? We would welcome that opportunity, and we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song selected.